Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much for joining us in this celebration of Easter Sunday together. Today, we're really telling the story of two gardens, a tale of two gardens. Yes, the story of the garden where resurrection happened, but we're also going to dive into the story of another garden, the first garden that we find in our story. I want to begin our time together here today with a question, an important question to consider, but especially today on Resurrection Sunday. Now, the answer that I'm really asking is not the first one that's going to pop into your mind, so you're going to have to pause with me for just a second. But it's an important question. Are you ready? That's not the question. I just need to make sure you're with me. It's early, okay? So here it is. Where are you? Some of y'all are like, here? But no, where are you? Where are you? If I'm honest, my brain kind of goes, as I think about that question, my brain goes to playing hide and seek with our four-year-old. If you've ever played hide and seek with a toddler, you know what I'm talking about. But as soon as you set up this game and you say, okay, go hide, they get this real excited look on their face and they run and they jump behind something like a mic stand and there they stand like this. Right? Or they might jump into the couch like this little guy did and you're like, this is it. Or they jump behind that tree that's not nearly big enough, and there they hide. And what do? We start out real slow. Where are you? You know, we walk around, give it a little breath, and go, where are you? And if you ask that enough times, there's going to be some giggles and some squirming that'll happen, and then you go, right? Where are you today? Yeah, I know, church, Elkton. If you're not sure, welcome. It might still be early for you. But where are you? More specifically, where are you in the bigger picture, in the grand scheme of things? Where are you in life, in your journey of faith, in relationship with the Lord? Where are you? You see, as we explore this story about two gardens, we're going to see that the Lord is asking us that very question. Where are you? Where are you? If you have your copy of Scripture today, I would invite you to turn to John chapter 19. The text will be on the screen. If you're a Bible app user, we have a YouVersion event created for the day. You can find notes in our teaching text there. But the text will be on the screen for John chapter 19. As we're kind of jumping into the story of John's gospel and what's happening, by the time we get to chapter 19, Jesus has been arrested on false charges, tried and condemned to death. Jesus, of course, has committed no crime. He's done no wrong, yet that didn't stop his accusers. They bring Jesus before Pilate, who was the Roman guy in charge of that region. And they bring him on the charge, and it is ultimately Pilate who would give the order for his crucifixion. And that's where we begin in verse 16 of the story today. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, says, finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. There it is, a picture of perhaps the greatest injustice this world has ever known. You see, crucifixion was a terrible and horrific method of execution. It was specifically designed to inflict pain, to slow down and drag out death. Jesus would be there for several hours before he would finally cry out, "It is finished." And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for you and me. It is finished. Jesus is dead. And that brings us into the story of the garden. Let's pick back up in our text at verse 38 of chapter 19. It says, "Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night." Think John 3:16. That's Nicodemus. "Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 75 pounds. Two characters appear on the scene, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Both men had encountered Jesus earlier in his ministry, earlier in his life. Both had come to some level of faith in him, though they were afraid from the religious and political pressure to actually profess public faith. And so here they come in the last hours, per se, that they might honor Jesus one more time. Let's continue in our text at verse 40. It says, "Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen." This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This once beautiful and serene garden, full of beauty and life, now plays host to death. And with that, the story of Jesus seemingly comes to a cold and dark dead end. I bet if we were to ask Jesus' friends, his disciples in that moment, if we were to ask them, "Where are you?" What do you think they would have said? I think they would have said things like bewildered, broken, confused, crushed. Maybe if in that moment you approached them and said, "Where are you?" They would say, "I have no idea. I have no idea." You see, this garden tomb seemed to swallow all of their hope. But today is Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. We know that this was not the dark, dead end for Jesus. This is Resurrection Sunday. Let's turn back in the Gospels to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 for the resurrection account. Matthew 28 verses 1 through 10 says, "After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and become like dead men." It says, "Then the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Then suddenly Jesus met them. Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Greetings. They came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This garden that once swallowed up all of their hope, that seemed to be the end of the story, brought forth resurrection life for all eternity. In this garden, we see in Christ's resurrection, we see the ultimate victory over sin, death, and hell. We see the ultimate promise of eternal life and the coming of his Spirit. We see his resurrection and hear the promise of life. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the good news of Jesus. So let me ask you again, where are you? Where are you today? Where are you in life, your journey of faith? Or are you experiencing, are you in a place where you're experiencing the hope of the resurrection? Or are you experiencing the joy and the peace of knowing Christ as your Savior? Are you experiencing and living the victory that only he can bring? Are you living eternal life through Christ? Where are you? Where are you? Maybe if you were really honest today, you would want to answer that question and say, I'm nowhere near that place. Maybe you're nowhere even here this morning. Maybe you feel like you're hiding today. Like if we really knew where you were, if we really saw behind the curtain, if we knew where you were, that we might be shocked. Where are you? Maybe you feel ashamed where you're at. You don't know exactly how you ended up there or where you are, but you don't like it. You just don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Maybe you know exactly where you are today. You know exactly where you are because you started out on this journey that was fun and fulfilling and life-giving, but it's ended up empty and hopeless. Where are you today? Where are you? You remember when I said that this was a story of two gardens? Perhaps today you're stuck in a different garden. Perhaps you're stuck in the first garden. We find the story of that garden in Genesis. I would invite you to turn there with me to chapter 2 in Genesis, the first book in the Bible. Genesis 2, 8 and 9 says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." You see, God created this garden perfect. He created it perfect. All creation was as it was supposed to be. In this garden, in this point, there was no sickness, there's no brokenness, there's no pain, no anxiety, no death. It was perfect, like God intended it to be. And that perfection was true for Adam and Eve as well. You see, they were called, they were created, they were God's partners, they were co-gardeners, if you will, in this creation project. And in their very essence, they had calling, they had purpose, and they had, most importantly, unbroken fellowship with God, their Creator. It was perfect. God provided that they needed in a garden whose beauty was beyond imagination. Within this garden, Within this garden, there was one tree that was off limits. There was one fruit they weren't supposed to eat. You see, in this garden, there was a choice. There was a choice. Would Adam and Eve, would they take God at his word, or would they take control? Would they take God at his word and trust him to leave that tree alone, or would they take control and find out for themselves? Into this garden narrative comes a tempter, a swindler, evil in the form of a serpent embodying the enemy of our souls. And this tempter, he starts to question Adam and Eve, and he questions their relationship with God. And in this interrogation, he convinces them to begin to question God. The tempter makes them believe that God is withholding from them, that he's holding back. And then he convinces them that they should take matters into their own hands, that they should call the shots. And that's what they do. This otherwise perfect garden is wrecked. It's wrecked. Let's jump down to Genesis 3, beginning at verse 7. Adam and Eve have taken and eaten. They've disobeyed. Verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid." And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin enters the story. It enters the garden, and it brings with it its cousins of fear and guilt and shame. And what we see is this once perfect garden suddenly feels like a place we are more familiar with. Read a little further in the story, and you'll see that accusation and blame and denial come into the story between husband and wife. Sin entered the story, and so did separation from God. You see, the weight of failure and shame began to set in on their hearts, and they hid. They ran. And friends, this instinct we still recognize in our failures and our shortcomings. That feeling to hide, to run, and it can show up anywhere. I'll never forget the time I was, believe it or not, I used to work in construction, and it's been a few years now, but we were working on a job site in Harrisonburg, and we were an electrical contractor. We had taken a 10-foot stick of conduit, and we had run it across the back of a pickup truck bed, and we had hung some spools of wire on there that we needed to pull wire through some conduits at this facility, and it was a Toyota T100. If you don't know what they are, they're about this wide, and so a 10-foot joint of pipe was way out both sides. And so we had loaded it up, and we needed to back this truck down, which was stupid. We needed to back it down between vehicles to get it where we needed it. And you already know where this is going. But I'm watching as this conduit is hanging out both sides of the truck. I'm watching the driver's side and trying to look out the back and easing down the way to where we needed it. And my intense focus on this moment is broken by someone yelling, "Stop, stop, stop." Oh. Heart sank, right? As I'm backing up and intently focusing on the driver's side and out the back glass, my attention had failed the passenger side, where for 6 or 7 feet, that end of that conduit was dragging the Grand Canyon down the side of that the foreman's truck. That might be why I'm not an electrician. No, I'm just kidding. In that moment, all those feelings come, right? So ashamed, feel so stupid, so vulnerable, like everybody in the world can see your failure and your mistake. And what feelings flood? I want to hide. I want to run. I want to get out of here, anywhere but here. Some of y'all are like, over a vehicle? You see, it wasn't the scratch and the paint that left the scar. It was the feeling of failure. Have you ever been there? I mean, maybe not dragging conduit down the foreman's truck, but have you ever encountered that place of failure, of mistake, and you know that gut-wrenching lump in your throat? I just want to disappear. I got to get out of here. If people really see how much I've messed up, we hide. We try to run. I think that's what Adam and Eve were dealing with in our story. They knew that something was broken. And they ran. And they ran. You know, here's the truth for us today, friends. It's that sin entered our story in this garden, and it's still there today. Paul gets at this truth in Romans 5:12 when he says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sin." Friends, we are still making these same choices as Adam and Eve. We're deciding to take our own authority, to call our own shots, to do our own thing, to make our own way. And yes, we're still feeling the consequence and the weight of those decisions when it doesn't go well. When we make those poor choices, it's the same fear, it's the same regret, it's the same shame and brokenness that comes. And some part of us still wants to run. Except we don't run to the trees of the forest to hide, do we? No, we'll run to 60-hour work weeks and a prospering career or a higher education, or we hide behind our lavish home and vacations. We hide in our hobbies, or we hide behind this OCD tendency to try to make everything on the outside look perfect so nobody knows how broken and empty I am inside. That's how we hide. We're still hiding because we're broken and empty. Where are you? Where are you today? If you can relate to that hiding, that feeling, I've got good news today. I've got good news. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's not over. I want you to look with me at the very next verse in the Genesis account. Adam and Eve have felt the weight, they felt the burden, and look what happens next. They're hiding. Genesis 3:9, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you? Where are you?" The very first thing, don't miss this. The very first thing we see God do in response to man's sin and hiding and brokenness is that he comes after them. Where are you? Where are you? I think God knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly where they were. He wanted them to understand where they were and that he saw them and was calling out to them. Where are you? Where are you? He wanted them to understand, to know that all they have to do is step out of hiding and back into relationship with him. Where are you? Where are you? He was calling them to take that step out of guilt and shame and back into relationship. And friends, today, God is calling you. Where are you? Where are you? No matter where you are today, no matter how long it's been, how bad it's gotten, God sees you. And he's as close as your next breath asking you, where are you? Where are you? Will you answer that call today? This is Resurrection Sunday. He's inviting you to come out of hiding, to take that step out of guilt and out of... You see, God didn't go drag them out of hiding. They had to take a step, and so do we. We have to take that step of faith to come out of hiding, to stop running, and say, here I am. Here I am. If you continue in the Genesis narrative, you're going to see that there were real consequences to sin. Sin always separates us. It always shames us. It always leads to death. But friends, this is a story of two gardens. And today we're celebrating that sin and death don't have the final word. God does. God does. Paul reminds us again in Romans 5, he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still hiding, Christ died for us. You see, there is a cross that stands between these two gardens. There is a cross that stands between these two gardens. Jesus has paid the ultimate price for our sins to liberate us from the guilt and the shame and the consequence of sin. There's a cross between the two gardens. And if you want to come out of hiding today, you place your faith in Jesus. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. He has made the way. And he alone is the one that can give you life. Where are you? Where are you? Are you ready to come out of the hiding? To step into the light? And know Jesus. We're going to pray here in just a minute. I would invite you to answer that call for yourself today. Where are you? That prayer can be really simple. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm taking a step out of hiding, and I want to step into relationship. Lord, I've messed up. I've called my own shots. I've tried to run my own life. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to be in relationship with you. Where are you today? Where are you? Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we hear your call today. The resounding call of your grace in this moment, saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lord, I want to step out of the hiding. I want to stop running. Stop pretending. Here I am, Lord. Lord, I've been calling my own shots. I've been Lord of my own life. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Here I am, Lord. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to know your resurrection life inside of me. I want to know what it is to live life as you created us in intimate union with you. So, Lord, I'm coming out of the hiding today and into the light of your resurrection life. Where are you? Where are you? Lord, I thank you today that you see us. That we can never be so good at hiding that you don't know right where we are. We can't be so good at running that you can't catch us. Thank you, Lord. We hear your voice today. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to stand today. We have prepared a response, just a way to say, here I am, to declare life in Christ. We have flowers here to my left, be to your right. I would invite you today, if you would like to just make the declaration to celebrate life in Christ, I would just invite you to come and take a flower. You can come as a family. You can come individually. Just come and take a flower and place it in the cross as a symbol of life to say, here I am. Here I am. As the band will begin to play shortly, I would just invite you now to take that step. No pressure. It's only an invitation to declare life.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.